This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Monday, the 16th of July. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on the show, Ian Muchamore brings a special in-depth report on the launch of the National Electronic Health Record System, known as My Health Record.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
From today, all Australians have 2 months until October 14th to take action on whether they opt out of the National Electronic Health Record System, known as My Health Record. The Electronic Health Record System has been in existence for several years, but previously required specific patient opt-in and agreement for their information to be shared across doctors and healthcare providers. That default is about to change, with Australians' key health information from GP visits, prescriptions, test results and imaging data such as x-rays to be made available in one secure electronic record when you most need it. That's the proposed benefit, but there are real concerns about privacy for the LGBTI community and how the reform system will work in practice. Tonight, in this special edition of The Informer, we hear from the community about what they see as the benefits and concerns and how this impacts all of us. While My Health Record might improve health services, it also raises concerns about who knows what about our sensitive health information. Ian Muchamore begins this special report by speaking to Kent Burgess, Head of Services at Thorn Harbour Health, about what My Health Record means for the community.
Someone comes to you from the community and they say to you, I've heard about My Health Record. Ken, what should I know?
So My Health Record is a system that's being established by the federal government to support health service delivery across all jurisdictions, primary care, so people's GPs, but also hospital and allied health workers, such as somebody's maybe physio or podiatrist or dentist, whereby all Australians, unless they opt out, will have an electronic health record where all of their Medicare and hospital information will be uploaded onto their own individual record, and that, under certain conditions, can be accessed by other health practitioners. And each individual will have things like test results, prescription information, Medicare information, maybe blood test results, allergies, conditions, etc., all loaded up onto the system. And when you go from one GP to another or you end up in hospital, unless you've provided exclusions where you hear withdrawn consent, then that information can be accessed by your new health service practitioner. There's a series of privacy legislations, etc., that govern My Health Record. But they do provide the fact that if you do not opt out of either having a record altogether, or you can put certain restrictions on what information is and isn't put on your health record. But if you don't actively put those restrictions on, then you need to be aware that your information will be automatically uploaded and accessed for the purposes of your care across different providers. That's the basis of it. And obviously, the goal is that My Health Record increases the quality of healthcare delivered, because the information that a practitioner needs to provide you with the right service is at hand. So they know of any allergies, they know of any other conditions that it can potentially reduce, you know, hazardous outcomes in the system where people may get an inappropriate service that doesn't factor in their allergies or other conditions that they may have. So the intent is about service integration and quality of care, and those are all excellent things. But of course, people need to balance that with a careful consideration of how much of their health information that do they want shared and under what circumstances.
So it is a system very much trying to improve health. What do you think, in your experience, that will mean for people from LGBTI communities? What could it do to improve the health system for them?
So, I mean, there's the classic story of people not wanting to tell their story 100 times. And, you know, particularly if that story, you know, has trauma attached to it, et cetera, as it may be for many community members, et cetera. So people may say, I really want that. I want, you know, when I rock it up at the hospital, I want them to have access to the fact that this is who I am, this is how I identify, and this is my health history, because I don't want to have to go through that again. So that may be very, very beneficial for somebody. On the other hand, you know, that's a very personal thing. And because of the experiences that people have often been through from LGBTI communities, including people living with HIV and people, you know, with different gender identities to that they're assigned at birth or may appear on their health records, et cetera, people have very good reasons why they don't want that information to be provided unless it's essential for their care, and in which case they want to know each occasion that that is provided. So potentially, yes, very beneficial, but also potentially harmful for those people that, because of very legitimate fears around stigma and discrimination, or even certain circumstances, legal circumstances, where people may not want their information to be on their record and shared across agencies without them being aware of each occasion. But as I said, there are various things that you can do to restrict the information that goes onto your health record, or even opt out of health record altogether, or receive, for example, you could opt to receive a notification every time a health service accessed your health record. You could be notified of that, so you could track who was accessing your information, you know, if you chose to do so. So there are various levels of controls, and for some people that will be enough, and for other people they'll decide that that's not enough.
You are out there at the front line in some respects with community. How significant do you think the concerns are amongst LGBTI people? And obviously we've seen particular concerns amongst some of the HIV groups and people living with HIV. But how broad are these concerns and how serious are they?
I think that, for example, the HIV community, but some of those issues will also be shared amongst other LGBTI people, particularly where, you know, the law has interacted with their identity, for example, people who may identify as trans or gender non-binary. So for some of these people, I think they are very, very real concern, and there are reasons why, you know, people may be wary to trust the system. On the other hand, also for those same groups, there are potentially very real benefits in people's health service provision. So I think that the benefits are real and the concerns are very real and legitimate. And organisations such as VAC and other organisations, you know, we're not suggesting that people should be in this or should be out of it, but we do think that people should avail themselves of the information, such as from the My Health Record website or from the statements that have been put out by the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations and others, which is relevant, you know, whether it's HIV related or for other community members, that gives you a rundown of exactly what it means. And people need to decide for themselves the risk or the benefit for them. And absolutely, I think there is a very real level of apprehension amongst the HIV community.
That was Kent Burgess, Head of Services at Thorn Harbour Health.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
We now continue our special report on the launch of My Health Record, the unified health record system being rolled out in Australia, as Ian Muchamore speaks with Joshua Badge, an academic at Deakin University. Joshua speaks to some specific concerns about My Health Record and the impact it may have on people living with HIV, sex workers, and those who use illicit drugs.
I became involved. I became interested in a number of different issues, including HIV criminalisation in Australia. I was reading about the way that My Health Record was being implemented, and it just seemed to contradict everything I was reading about the appropriate responses to HIV criminalisation and public health. And then reading more and more into it, I came to realise that actually, no, there were problems with how the policy was being implemented.
Joshua, is this issue only about HIV, or does it affect the rest of the LGBTI community?
The main kind of argument is one about privacy and about control of our private information. My Health Record is not a particularly salient program. Firstly, it's opt-out. So many people will be put onto the system without really understanding what's happening there. They won't necessarily understand the kind of information that's retained or who can access it or how they can control it. It is of particular importance to specific groups. So it's particularly important to groups that face either social stigma or legal repercussions for various reasons. And so you have a system where the police will be able to access records without warrants or oversights, where they could potentially prosecute people who have simply gone in to see a doctor. And what this does is that it disincentivizes people from speaking honestly to their physicians. And so there is a kind of a run-on effect where down the line we could potentially see people not testing as regularly for fear of persecution or even prosecution. You know, HIV criminalization isn't just about people who currently have HIV, but particularly about people who have a higher chance of acquiring HIV. There is also other issues around sex work, which is also criminalized, and about concerning people who use illicit substances. We know from the Flux study, which has, you know, been publishing results recently, up to 50% of gay and bisexual men use an illicit substance of some kind. There is a variety of interest groups who potentially harmed by certain elements of this policy that haven't been appropriately considered.
Okay. We hear on The Informer week after week that different parts of the LGBTI community have poorer health outcomes. We're more mm-hmm. impacted by mental health issues, and the harm from tobacco, mm-hmm. alcohol and illicit drugs is higher than for many other groups. Health services mm-hmm. may not be welcome or inclusive, and these health services need to count us. They need to recognise our needs. How does opting out of the mainstream lead to better health for LGBTI people?
So obviously there are benefits to an e-health system. I don't think that any of the community organisations or myself are denying that. You know, My Health Record could be powerful asset into promoting healthfulness and public health in general, especially for marginalised communities. However, those communities are also subject to higher levels of scrutiny and higher levels of policing, and in some instances that I've outlined, of explicit criminalisation. And so opting out of My Health Record as it currently stands would see less anxiety and less opportunity for that system to be abused and essentially used against already marginalised communities. These aren't just kind of airy-fairy anxieties. There's real likelihood that the system will be abused and used against certain categories of people, particularly against sex workers, people living with HIV, recent immigrants and Indigenous people.
We know that LGBTI communities have poorer health outcomes. The argument that I've heard from LGBTI organisations is that there could be life-saving information in My Health Record. What yes. do you say to that?
My Health Record will only function as it is intended if people can trust to have private conversations with their doctors. So in order to receive appropriate treatment and support, people must be able to speak openly and honestly to medical professionals. But the potential for law enforcement agencies to access the My Health Records system without oversight damages the trust of people who are vulnerable to certain kinds of exploitation or policing. So, of course, it's true that many people, most people even, stand to gain from the My Health Record policy. But it can only function as intended if people are being honest with their doctors, and the system disincentivizes people from being honest in the first place.
So what about the systems that are in place in My Health Record for individuals to control their own health information, to restrict who has access to it?
So firstly, the ATHA is not being very open about how this is accessible. It's an opt-out, so many people are, you know, there's no active consent. People are not saying that they want to be a part of this program. It's just assumed. Secondly, it's only a two-month opt-out window, and very little has been publicized about it in the mainstream media. There's also the fact that how long the information is retained for. So it's retained for 30 years after your death or up to 130 years after your birth. And there's no real medical reason for that. That's just because the government wants access to the information for various research and app development purposes.
What are you asking the Digital Health Authority to actually do? They're putting the system in place right now. What are you asking them to do differently?
I have a list of questions that I wish that I could ask them. I suppose to summarize, what policies is the ADHA going to put in place to address the concerns of LGBTQ people, people living with HIV? I've read everything that the ADHA has published on this topic, and these things have just not been addressed. They received submissions during both public consultations from community organizations outlining various problems, many of the problems that I have outlined, and they have essentially been ignored. So really, you know, what I think everyone would like to know is what is going to be done to prevent negative health outcomes that could potentially come about.
That was Joshua Badge from Deakin University with Ian Muchamore on the concerns surrounding the My Health Record system.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Now, in the final part of our special report into My Health Records, Ian Muchamore speaks to Meredith Makem, the Chief Medical Advisor of the Australian Digital Health Agency.
LGBTI people, like everybody else in Australia, are going to want to know about the benefits of this system and why it's on offer to all Australians by the end of 2018 if they should choose to have one. We've actually attended a number of conferences and had lots of consultations with different peak organisations in the LGBTI community to make sure that we're really across any issues that this particular community has and that we can address those.
So what have you heard when you've listened to the concerns of LGBTI organisations and individuals?
For example, recently we attended the Health Indifference Conference, and there was a session there, that a sort of informal discussion with a number of groups such as the LGBTI Alliance, AFAO, Positive Life, the Scarlet Alliance and others. And they raised issues around anti-discrimination protection, the secondary use of data, stigmatisation, issues that, of course, we want to make sure that they understand what the privacy protections are in My Health Record. And in fact, the legislation itself that was set, you know, that when this thing was set up back in 2012 is very explicit and gives Australians very, very important privacy protections.
There are still individuals I've spoken to that seem very concerned about My Health Record. And I think in the words of one of them, if you're not sure, opt out. What are you doing to address the concerns, the specific concerns that you've heard from LGBTI organisations, HIV organisations and other marginalised groups?
Those concerns, we're attempting to address them through a number of different means. And it's through engaging the clinical community, particularly clinicians who treat LGBTI healthcare consumers and people who are the peak bodies that might communicate with those clinicians, but also directly to consumers themselves. So we've got a very a multi-layered communications approach, essentially. And what we're attempting to do is make sure that all of the clinicians in Australia and all of the consumers in Australia are aware of their, of course, of their rights dropped out of the system, should they choose to, but also of what all of those privacy protections are. And we're developing a lot of resources and consumer-facing things on our website, privacy videos, etc., to show people how they can exercise all of those controls and understand what all the protections are around the system. If you choose to, you can put something called a record access code on your My Health Record. And that's basically a PIN. And if you've got that code on your My Health Record, then nobody can see that record unless you share the PIN with them. Unless, and this is in the legislation, unless you're unconscious in emergency or the clinician feels that, you know, your life is at risk and they need to what we call break glass so that they can see those allergies and medicines in a hospital setting, usually that would happen. That record access code is effectively a PIN. Now, if you don't want to put a PIN over your entire record, you can actually pick and choose particular documents in the record that you might want to put a PIN on. That's called a limited document access control. And all of these features are available on the consumer portal for My Health Record under the privacy tab. They're easy to exercise. So you might choose to do that. The other thing you can do is you can actually pick and choose which healthcare provider organisations can see your record. And if you like, you can block specific organisations from seeing your record. And the other thing you can do is you can effectively actually delete documents in your record if you choose to as well. So people have to be aware if they delete those documents, they wouldn't be available to themselves or to anyone else in an emergency, but that's also an option. And then finally, there's actually features like alerts where you can be sent a text or an email if somebody opens your record for the first time. So all of those sorts of features are available in the My Health Record system, and it means people can exercise a range of different privacy options to control that information.
I've actually had a My Health Record for, I'm not sure how long actually, but I went in to check it yesterday, and I was quite surprised actually at the level of information that was in there now that hadn't been in, say, 12 months ago. The default, it seems to me, is that information goes in there. Why is there the default that information, which can be really quite private and sensitive information, goes into My Health Record rather than I give specific permission for it to be recorded and shared?
Well, look, there's sort of two things to think about with that. The first is that the system is actually designed so that the people who are looking after you, directly providing your clinical care, can easily share and access all of that information, and it's all available. And so most people's preference is that all those people can see it and share it. And so the standing consent model for My Health Record is that people, and this is not an open access or anything like that, it's not like any old clinician in Australia can surf the internet and see My Health Record. This is very controlled, tightly controlled, with secure connections between what we call conformant clinical information systems, or the software where we keep your records in our practices, to the My Health Record system. And there's a lot of security protections that have to be in place and connections to be made so that my system as a GP, for example, can see somebody's My Health Record. So it's important to understand that, yes, it's if you don't decide to put that record access code on your record, that clinicians who are looking after you will be able to see the information, and of course you'll be able to see it yourself. But it's not open to other clinicians.
One of the biggest concerns that we hear from the community, and perhaps that undermines this trust, is that non-health related government departments and law enforcement agencies will have access to the records. And in this case, in the case of My Health Record, that they won't need a tribunal or a court finding, which they would to access other health records or other medical records. What's the rationale for that? And doesn't that undermine the community trust?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure that's completely correct. I mean, my understanding, the My Health Record data is not available to other government departments. It's quite clear in the legislation that there are very limited reasons why your My Health Record data, like other medical record information, say in a hospital system, would be allowed to be shared with any other third party. And in fact, we have a policy that we would not release any of that information without subpoena. So I think that's actually not quite correct. It's certainly not intended. The information won't be shared with other government departments and wouldn't be passed on to any other third party without a court order, without a subpoena. The other thing to understand is the legislation does allow for what we call the secondary uses of data. However, there's very tight controls around that as well. And the government's released a framework called the Secondary Uses Framework, which will, in the future, if people choose to allow their data to be used for secondary purposes for public, and I'm talking about public good population health research types of activities, they will be able to choose whether or not they let their data flow for those purposes in a de-identified way. And if they don't want their data to be used for those purposes, we've built a preference switch, a toggle basically, into My Health Record so that you can just switch that off.
But again, the default for that is that your information would be shared, de-identified for future research.
Yes, it would be possible for that to, you can leave that toggle set to open, that's the default option. However, it's not going to be able to be shared with anyone for probably another 2 years. And the secondary uses policy, the framework that describes how this will be ethically and tightly controlled, sets out that the what we call the data custodian for the information will be the AIHW, the Australian Institute for Health and Welfare. And they're setting up a very tightly controlled data governance process, which will include the usual sort of ethics controls that we have over information being released from, you know, government sources, etc., for researchers, for population health and public good.
Data governance is probably a bit of a jargon for some of our listeners. What does that mean in practice, and what involvement will there be of organisations that represent marginalised groups, people living with HIV, people from LGBTI groups? How will they be involved in these decisions about how data is shared?
Yeah, well, look, what data governance, to explain that to listeners, what that means is, I suppose, the set of rules around the way information is allowed to be shared or would flow. And we don't have those established yet. They will be established by the Department of Health in government policy under the Secondary Uses Framework. My understanding is that there was a very broad community consultation in creating that framework. So a lot of these communities have already participated actively in an engagement process to make sure that their views were heard when they designed what that framework would look like. And then, of course, the details of operationalising that, as I said, it will probably take another 2 years or so, will no doubt also involve communities that want to have a say in how that works.
That was Meredith Makem, the Chief Medical Advisor of the Australian Digital Health Agency, in the final segment of this Informa special report into the launch of the National Electronic Health Record System, known as My Health Record. With special thanks to Ian Muchamore for that special report. Ian is a regular contributor to the Informa, a previous president of Living Positive Victoria, and is a policy editor with the Analysis and Policy Observatory at Swinburne University.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
That's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.